One of the most settling facts to me, especially trying to labor in the Word and to bring the gospel and with you and I together as believers, one thing that settles my heart more than anything else is knowing that the Lord Jesus Christ is risen, that He is ruling and reigning in this world and in the midst of the church. Acts 2, verse 47. I want to look at this last phrase. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. We'll divide this one statement into 4 points. Let's look at these first three words. And the Lord. The resurrected Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, is the head of His church. He's the head of the universal church, meaning all of the elect of God throughout all time in heaven and in earth. And He's the head of the local church, the church where He's placed the candlestick. And He's the head because God the Father entrusted to Him to glorify His name, to glorify the name of God in the salvation of a people chosen and given to Christ. And the preeminent matter that Christ came to accomplish was to manifest in person, in a visible form to His people, the manifest glory of the triune God. And He came to where we are in this great, great condescension of coming down to where we are, of this one who is equal with the Father, equal with God, and came down, making Himself of no reputation, and literally went from being the greatest to the least, which is the path we have to follow. That's the path that His people will follow. We'll go from thinking we're the greatest in our flesh and in our minds, deceived in sin, and we're going to have to be made the least. The least. But He did this, and the complete and total fulfillment, the honoring and magnifying of the law of God, is the total, complete faithfulness with which He served the Father, and the love was from which He served the Father. We'll talk a little bit more about that in the second hour, but it truly is the fulfillment of the law, is what, in the manner that He accomplished the work. The whole Word of God had been declaring Him from the beginning, from the lambs that were slain in the garden to make coats of skin whereby the Lord covered Adam and Eve after the fall. It was a picture of Christ. Abel's lamb was a picture of Christ's coming, whereby He came to God and was accepted of God. Noah's ark was declaring Christ is coming. Judgment's coming. Get in the ark. The high priest in the old covenant is Christ. The prophet that Moses said, the Lord will raise up a prophet like unto me. This is Christ the prophet. He's the prophet, He's the priest, He's the lamb. And the scriptures tell us here, He is the Lord. He is the Lord. Because He completely, totally honored the law in perfection, both in precept and penalty, because He magnified the Father, He highly exalted God in everything He did. And God also has highly exalted Him. And Peter stood up that day, and he declared here in Acts 2:34, he said, David is not ascended into the heavens. David was the king of Israel. And he said, David's not ascended into the heavens. Two things here. One, David's not the king. And two, the throne of this king is not in the earth. It's in heaven. David's not ascended into heaven, into the heavens. But he saith himself, the Lord said unto my Lord. David takes his place beneath the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, the Lord said to my Lord. sit thou on my right hand until I make thy foes thy footstool. By one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. And God said, sit here on my right hand till I make your foes your footstool. Therefore let all the house of Israel know assuredly, without a doubt, that God hath made that same Jesus whom you've crucified, both Lord and Christ. He's the Savior and He's the King. He's the King and He's the Savior. How high did God exalt Him? Look over to Ephesians chapter 1. Remember He said, before He ascended, He said, all power in heaven and earth is given unto Me. Look here in Ephesians 1, in verse 21. How high did the Lord exalt Him? Far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. And hath put all things under His feet, and gave Him to be the head over all things to the church, which is His body, the fullness of Him that filleth all in all. Why did the Lord do this? Look at Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1. And look there at verse 18. He's the head of the church, the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things He might have the preeminence. For it pleased the Father that in Him should all fullness dwell. So the first word we read here, when we read that the Lord did this, we know that our Savior is our Lord. Our Savior is our King. Everything in this earth is under His power and His dominion, and everything in the church is under His power and His dominion. The same things the Lord did when He walked this earth, our Lord is doing right now from heaven's glory. It is no different. It's no different. It's really just as real as when He walked this earth and ruled the winds and the waves below. He's ruling right now from heaven's glory the same way. All right, here's the second word in verse 47. Added. And the Lord added. The apostles and the disciples. The scripture said, I'll smite the shepherd and the sheep shall be scattered. And the apostles didn't even have the power, and the other disciples didn't have the power to keep themselves assembled together when Christ was crucified. Christ came to where they were after He was risen, and He reassembled them together. And look at what it says in Acts 1, verse 3. It says here, to whom also He showed Himself alive after His passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days, and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God, and being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which, saith He, ye have heard of Me. And the Lord Jesus Christ is doing the same thing right now. He's showing Himself alive by many infallible proofs in the Word of God, in His Scriptures, through the gospel. He's being seen right now with the eye of faith by all them that believe. Our Lord is speaking through His messengers the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. And the Lord Jesus Christ is assembling together with us. He said, where two or three are gathered together in My name. This gives us some idea of how they're gathered together, doesn't it? He gathers them. It's not just that two or three decide one day, we're just going to get together. Where do you get the heart to get together? Where do you get the heart to come together? Where do you get the heart to be? We're gathered. Where two or three are gathered together in My name. He said, there I am in the midst of them. And He said that, it said there that He commanded them. And that's what He does. When the gospel goes forth, the Lord Jesus Christ commands the hearts of His people. He speaks into the hearts of His people. And He speaks effectually in the hearts of His people. And He commands His people to wait for the promise of the Father. They were waiting for the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, baptizing the church into the Holy Spirit. We're waiting for Christ to return. But we're commanded to wait. Wait in Jerusalem. Jerusalem, there is a picture of heavenly Jerusalem, picture of the church of God. Wait wherever He's gathered you together. Wait there, just as they waited for the return of the Lord. And He commands this in the hearts of His people, and only He can give this desire and this willingness to assemble. Men can't give it. He gives it. He does it. The Lord Jesus sends forth His messengers, just like He sent Peter forth there. The Scripture says, He that descended is also the same that ascended far above the heavens. And He gave gifts unto men. He gave some apostles and some prophets and evangelists and pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Peter had just stood by a fire, warming himself by fire, and a woman kept saying to him, "Aren't you His disciple?" And he kept denying it. And now Peter stands up in the same place where he just saw his Savior crucified, dragged through the street, hairs plucked out of his face, spat upon, mocked, beat, nailed to a cursed cross. And now he stands up right there in the midst of these people. This one who denied Him and fled, he stands up now right there in the midst of these people, and he says there in verse 23, "Him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, you fellows didn't do anything that wasn't determined before to be done. Ye have taken, and by wicked hands you've crucified and slain Him." But he said to them, even though it was determined before to be done, it doesn't excuse your wickedness. You did it. "Whom God hath raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that He should be holden of it." He stood up and declared this gospel right there in that place. And others with him. God, the Lord added. The Lord, He adds, He gathers together, He adds, He gives grace in the heart. Look at verse 33 there. He says, "Therefore, being by the right hand of God exalted, and having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Ghost, He hath shed forth this which you now see and hear." He said, this risen same Jesus, He has shed forth this which you now see and hear. All these folks preaching the gospel to you in your own native tongue, He's done this. This same one has done this, Peter said. And the Lord added, look there at the end of verse 41. "And the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls." He did that. This same one who shed forth this work, He did that. He did the adding. Look over at Ephesians 4. Ephesians 4. He adds increase to His body by adding individually to each member in His body. He does this through the Spirit of God. Look at Ephesians 4, verse 7. "Unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ." Look down at verse 16. "From whom the whole body, fitly joined together," He assembles them, He gathers them together, fitly joins them together, "and compacted by that which every joint supplieth," according, how does every joint, every member supply something to one another? "According to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love." It's through Him adding, through Him giving the increase. One plants, one waters, but it's God who gives the increase. And He'll receive all the glory for this. All right, here's the third word in our that verse 47. The Lord added to the church. The church is His body. The church is the fullness of Him. fullness of Him that filleth all in all. Now, if there's one member of His body that's not brought in and added to the church, our Lord Jesus Christ is not complete. Do you think this world's going to end? Do you think that global warming's going to take over and the world's just going to fall into chaos and the iceberg is going to melt in the sea and there's not going to be any time to plant and sow and reap and all these things and everything's just going to go into chaos before He saves that last one that was chosen of the Father and redeemed by His precious blood? Do you think that this world's going to end before He calls the last one into His body? Absolutely not. No way. He's upholding all things by the word of His power. He has been from the beginning. He has throughout time. And He's holding it together now. And that's the word of His covenant promise, that He will glorify the Father in the salvation of every last one for whom the Father gave Him. And that's what He's going to do. That's exactly what He's going to do. The church, He said, "This is the Father's will which hath sent me, that of all which He's given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day." And He said, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me." How in the world are they going to hear His voice when He's seated on the right hand of the Father? They're going to hear His voice through Peter, who He sends forth to stand up and to preach. And He's going to work this work of grace in the hearts of His people through Him. And He's going to know them, effectually know them, effectually enter into their hearts and speak life into them through the Holy Spirit of God and create something that entirely was not there anymore. A new man who has eyes to see and ears to hear and feet to follow after and hands to work with. He's going to create this. And He's going to know them. And when He does this, they're going to follow Him, He said. And He said, "And no man's going to pluck them out of my hand." In our day, you have one of two things. You have folks who won't commit to the church of God and won't give, who serve self-serving, self-motivated, who won't be committed to the work. That don't affect me at all. That doesn't bother me at all. Or you have people who are cumbered about much serving, so much so that they minor on the majors rather than majoring on the minor, or they major on the minors and minor on the majors. That doesn't bother me either. You know why? The Lord's church is not, it's not going to hell in a handbasket. The Lord's church is exactly where it should be, functioning exactly how it should be, functioning exactly with all provision, even as it was from this day right here. You know why? Because the King of heaven and earth, the head of the church, is doing the work in the midst of His church. And He's not ever failed and won't ever fail. Not ever. Not ever. He's given us one thing to do. When He calls us and adds us into this body, into this church, He's given us one thing to do. There's various things, measures that people can do to contribute to this one thing. This one thing. This one rallying point. This one charge He's given us is to hold up the ark. To hold up Christ the Lord. And He'll dry up the Jordan. He'll do the work. That's all Peter did that day. He stood there like Moses. And he stood up and he began to preach the gospel of Christ. Just like Moses held up that staff that day when they were fighting against Amalek. And as long as that staff was held up, Israel prevailed. But when Moses began to grow weary and that staff began to weaken, his hands weakened, and that staff was brought down, Amalek prevailed. And so you know what they did? His brethren took a stone and they set him on that stone. That stone's a picture of Christ. We gotta be settled on this foundation. This is where we're gonna get our strength. This is where we're gonna get our stability. This is where we're gonna be able to wage this war. And then one got on one side and one got on the other, and they held up his hands so that he could hold up that staff. and Israel prevailed. All of us here are put into the body, added to the body, those that have been regenerated and called and increased by the measure of grace by Christ the Lord, given jobs to do, wherever you are, wherever He's put you, whatever you have a talent for, whatever He's given you the ability to do, He's given the ability for us to strengthen each other, for us to collectively be compacted together, supplying what every other joint in the body needs, so that we together, collectively, can do this one thing, and that is hold up the gospel of Christ. And as that gospel went forth, the Lord called out 3,000 people that day on the day of Pentecost. If the axe is sharp, the gospel, if it's sharp, if it's going forth with boldness and clarity and not sounding like something to you and then something to you and something to that one back there and something to this one up here so that anybody can take it and go home and it means something different to everybody. But if it's set forth in clarity and in truth, the Lord does rebuking, He does chastening, He does turning, He makes alive, He increases with grace, He fills the Spirit with new life, He edifies, all through the word of the gospel. That's where the majority of the work is done. But if the axe is dull, it takes a lot of work, a lot of pounding and a lot of hard hitting to try to make a tree fall. Well, look here now at the last word, verse 47. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. Is there anybody here who is a sinner? They're hard to find. Very hard to find. Me and I talk to you about everything under the sun, and you'll never hear them say a word about what a sinner they are. Anybody here need mercy? Listen to this. Now is the accepted time. Today is the day of salvation. Well, I've got tomorrow. Maybe not. Maybe not. Well, I've got this afternoon. Maybe not. You got right now. You got right now. Call on the Lord while He's near. This is something I know for a fact. The Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. You know what that word saved means? It means made whole. The Lord added to the church daily such as should be made whole. Who should be made whole? Everyone that the Father has everlastingly loved by His free sovereign prerogative to choose whom He will and pass by whom He will. God's God. If you don't like Him being God, I got news for you. He's going to win. He's going to win. Those Christ has purged with His own blood and made righteous by what He's done alone. That's who should be made whole. And every one of those shall be made whole. Every one of them. You remember how that the woman with the issue of blood, how that she said to herself, she said, if I can just touch the hem of His garment, I shall be made whole. And the Lord looked around and He saw her and He said, daughter, be of good comfort. Thy faith hath made thee whole. Whole. And everyone that touched Him was made whole from that very hour. Contrary to popular belief, me or you or any preacher or any church is not going to share in any glory of having sanctified and made holy Christ's people. He's going to get all the glory for that too. every bit of the glory for that too. He loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might wash it and purge it and present it to himself, a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing. And he's going to do that. He's going to do just that. And he's going to receive all the glory for having done it. Every bit of it. Made whole. You know what that means? That means the moment the believer dies, our spirit is going to go to be with the Lord immediately. And as far as I can read in this book, and I'm just telling you that it ain't in this book, there's nothing that's going to have to be done for your spirit to go and be with the Lord. Because that new man is created after the image of God, created in righteousness and true holiness. We're going to grow in grace. We're going to grow in knowledge of Him. We're going to grow in love. We're going to grow in fruits of the Spirit. But we're not growing in holiness. Those born of the Spirit of God are holy. They're holy. Chosen of God the Father, redeemed by, washed by the blood of Christ, sanctified by the Spirit of God, they're holy. They're holy. Nothing else to be done to be made holy. They're holy. Fit, whole, to go with and be with God right this moment. Right this moment. Do you have loved ones that you desire to be made whole? Well, this is our comfort. Everyone that Christ has redeemed shall be made whole. Just keep on inviting them to come. Keep on giving them sermons on CD. Keep on giving them tracts. Keep on giving them good, faithful, plain material that will show them that God is God and Christ is Lord. And if there He is, He'll bring them. And He'll save them. He'll save them. All right, here's the thing to remember now. First of all, if you've been made whole, you confess Christ in believer's baptism, you've joined yourself with this local body, what do you do? What do we do? Verse 44, here's what He worked in His people. All that believed were together. They were all of one mind. It was settled. And they had all things common. They knew where they came from. They came from the Lord. They knew that everything they had, they received from Him. And when we have one Lord, we know we have all things common. And sold their possessions and goods and parted them to all as every man had need. And they, continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart. Where was that singleness of heart? Where was that gladness from? They knew the Lord, I'm declaring to you today. And that makes the heart glad. And that makes the heart single. Single. With one motive, one method, one message for Him. Praising God. Oh, you folks give too much emphasis on Christ and Him crucified. You don't praise God. It pleased the Father that in His Son should all preeminence dwell. And what I've declared to you today is that which glorifies God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. They're one. They're absolutely one. No division. And they had favor with all the people. With all the people. You think about that. I mean, we don't go very many more pages and we see Peter and John being thrown in prison. Don't go very much further. We see Paul being beaten and thrown in prison. You mean they had favor with all the people? They had favor with all God's people through this sovereign Lord reigning in the hearts of His people. They had favor. And if He gave them favor with the enemy, it was because He turned their hearts, the enemy's hearts, whithersoever He would, to give them favor. Philippians 2:12, the Lord, Paul said this, work out your own salvation. Everything that God has done for you in all your daily affairs with each other in the church, in all your daily affairs in this life, work out your salvation It just means as you go about your daily life as a believer, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. If you got something that needs to be planned on, do it with fear and trembling. If you got something, a decision that needs to be made, do it with fear and trembling. Why? For it's God which worketh in you both to will and to do of His good pleasure. Now, what should that do? What will that do in the hearts of His people? Do all things without murmurings and disputings. I don't have to try to force you to do anything. Not going to. And all of murmuring and disputings over. Why? Because I serve a sovereign King. If He came and put away my sin by the sacrifice of Himself, I'm not worried about what He can do in the heart of a little ant. That you may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom you shine as lights in the world. What's that one thing we're doing? Holding forth the word of life. All right, here's the second thing. If there's anybody here who for the first time finds themselves believing on Christ, who want to be under the dominion of this sovereign King, who does good to His people, who robes them in His righteousness, who crowns them with His crown, who imparts to them all the blessedness that He's accomplished for them. He performs it in them through His Spirit. If you find yourself believing on Him, what should you do? Acts 2:37. Now when they heard the gospel, they were pricked in their heart. And they said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, Men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said unto them, Repent. Turn from all your former refuge, all your former idea and vain imaginations of who God is and how He saves, all your former righteousnesses, everything that has become dung to you, repent from it. Turn from it. And be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. That word for means because of. If you see a poster and it says Jesse James is wanted for murder, that doesn't mean he's wanted in order to commit murder. It means he's wanted because he's already done it. That's what this word for means right here. Baptized because your sins have been put away. Confessing it's already done. It's accomplished. And you'll receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. This sealing of the Spirit of God whereby He continually makes you heart glad and single for Christ. And then you commit yourself to the church. Join the church and commit yourself to the work of holding forth the Word of life. And together we do this, trusting and knowing this glorious fact. The Lord shall add to the church daily such as should be saved. Amen.